Hi, everybody, and welcome back to yet another cracking installment of the Secrets of Fail series on the Matt Brown Show, where we're talking about all of our failures, the gory, ugly failures of building our businesses. With me on the line is the man, the legend, David Weisberger, the CEO of CoinRoutes. David, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Matt. Great to be here.
The privilege is really all mine, man. So I'm super excited to have you in the hot seat for today. Why don't you start by giving us the elevator pitch?
So CoinRoutes was formed 6 years ago, interestingly, when I had left a series of Wall Street jobs. I'd been on Wall Street for a long time and had negotiated a pretty reasonable exit from IHS Market, where I was head of equity market structure. And Ian Weisberger, my son, had the idea to build a company to help people navigate the crypto markets and try to get buy low and sell high. But really, when you wanted to buy, get the best price, and we wanted to sell, get the best proceeds for your sale. And so he walks over to me and says, hey, know anyone who knows something about market structure? I think we can build a business here because the markets are really messed up. At the time, I didn't know a damn thing about Bitcoin, Ethereum, and what this stuff was. I have since become a zealot, but you know, that's a different story for a different day. But what was fascinating is we built from the ground up. We applied for a patent for a distributed architecture that Ian invented, and we built our MVP and off to the races. Now, here we are 6 years later. Actually, last month, the patent was finally approved. So we have the only distributed architecture in crypto for spanning trading on DeFi exchanges, CeFi exchanges, and market makers all in the same order. And the only algorithmic suite that allows people to trade that is built uniquely for the market structure of crypto. And what does this mean? Well, it means that our clients benefit from anywhere from 5 to 15 basis points of better performance. So, you know, what we charge is a fraction of that. And so our clients make more money, you know, simply put. So that's what we do. That's the elevator pitch of CoinRoutes.
So, David, what is your story of fail for our audience around the world today?
As I mentioned to you, I could actually point out several stories, but I'm going to focus on one that is kind of a little bit humiliating. It happened when I was toward the end of my development career at Morgan Stanley. I started my career on Wall Street as a development manager or developer, then development manager in automated trading systems. And around 1990, we had what I thought was a brilliant idea of being able to build a crossing network. It became known as Match Plus, which would allow buyers to interact with sellers algorithmically using, you know, our tools, and save from paying what the specialists were charging in the New York Stock Exchange or market makers would charge on NASDAQ. And so the brilliant idea was to compete with what was the largest network of the day called POSIT. So we built something that said, instead of waiting till 20 minutes later, an hour later, 3 hours later to try to match orders, we said, you know what? If an order is sitting there, let it match against another order in real time. And so we built the first real-time crossing network. Now, it sounds quaint, and people, if you ask them, say, well, have you ever heard of Match Plus that Morgan Stanley debuted in 1990? They would say, no, they haven't. Hence the embarrassing fail. What we had missed after spending lots of time developing the technology, and it was state of the art at the time, was the fact that orders, in order to cross a buyer and a seller, have to happen at the same time. And it just didn't. So a buy might be sitting there, nothing would come across, and then they would go out to the market, and then a sell would come in and be sitting there. And so they were like two ships passing the night, and they never worked. So we built this elaborate technology, matching engines that arguably were state of the art at the time. We built connections to the Boston Stock Exchange to print those things, and we thought we would have a winner, and it was a complete and abject failure. So I always tell people that one of the things that helped me learn how to build trading businesses is by failing and building something that didn't work, and you know, millions of dollars of expense, all sorts of technology firepower. We built something, and at the end of the day, it simply didn't work.
David, what is your secret lesson of fail? What did that experience teach you?
Well, there are several lessons. If I were all Silicon Valley, I would say, well, it meant that it wasn't a good product market fit. But it's much more nuanced than that. What it taught me is something that is exceedingly important for anybody in finance, and that is to understand critical mass. So what does critical mass mean? It means that if you have enough going on so that a person who puts an order someplace has a chance of having that happen, having it match, then they will continue and come by and it will grow. If, on the other hand, you have thousands of people and they all have a terrible experience up front, it will die. And so the notion of having a critical mass of orders to interact with each other is very, very important. It means that whatever you're doing, don't assume that you can get the business from the beginning. So this is why some people do stealth launches and other things. But what's important is if you're trying to get both sides of a trade together, make sure that you have enough there to keep people's interest for enough time for the business to get off the ground. And that is a lesson that a lot of people just don't learn. And we see it in the crypto market with exchanges that fail because they don't have both sides and they don't do it. So it's a hard lesson for people to understand, but it's one that's very, very important.
David, if you could go back in time and, you know, do things differently around this period, what would you do differently?
Well, the most important single thing would be to understand, to actually have analyzed the orders that we thought we had to see what would have been the impact. And by trial running that, we would have known before we actually went into production that we were not going to have enough of a hit rate for people to believe they would have a good user experience. And then we would have, by nature, said, you know, we need to slow this down. We need to make people hold an order for a period of time in order for it to work and prove and work around that. So it would have been a different technological design, at least somewhat. And it could have been sped up over time, but we didn't. And as a result, it failed. And it's interesting because at CoinRoutes, we've made very certain, we've talked about building the ability to cross internally. And in point of fact, we don't do that. But what we did do is make sure that our clients, in all cases, were able to access the market based upon our knowledge of the market. So one of the things we did that was very important and why I think we're the best out there is we made sure that all the market data that's happening in this market is accessible to our algorithms. We didn't take a chance that we wouldn't know what was happening. And so like last weekend or 2 weekends ago, there was an incident that reminded me of what we saw routinely in 17 and 18. Gemini is one of the crypto exchanges. If you went to buy Bitcoin on Gemini, you were paying $1,000 more than if you were trying to buy it on Coinbase, for example. Now, if you didn't take that market data in, you wouldn't know what was happening. And it's really important to have that critical mass of data. It's really important to see that. And so the lesson of understanding critical mass means that in crypto, we learned that the amount of data you needed to be able to make accessible for your decision-making needs to be over that critical mass. And it turns out it's significantly more than in other asset classes. But that's that lesson. And that lesson repeats itself many, many times. But that's the most recent one that I could examine.
David, what's your advice to other founders, other CEOs who are looking to scale their companies? What comes to mind?
Well, I think the most important thing is to be realistic in your assessments and to have a feedback loop. Know what you're doing. There's an old expression, you can't manage what you can't measure. And I think Edward Demings is the one who said that. I think that is the single most important thing. A lot of people assume product market fit based upon maybe an early survey and stop looking and stop asking. If you're talking to your customers, that's great. If you're talking to prospects, that's great. But the fact is no matter what you're doing, you need to be measuring what you're doing and making sure that what you think is happening in the market and with your firm is what's happening with your market and with your firm.
David, how has your attitude towards failure changed over the years? You've obviously scaled a number of companies, done things at scale. How has your personal relationship with failure changed over the years?
You know, it's a great question, Matt. I mean, it's funny. And people ask me how it is working with my son. And the most interesting part of it is I understand now what I didn't understand when I was 30. and I see it. And so he's going to understand it sooner than I did, for sure, which is you need to embrace failure in order to know how not to make a mistake twice. If you don't embrace failure and do postmortems and learn from your mistakes, you are going to repeat them. And that, when you have the hubris of youth, is very hard. Now, Ian is fantastic at this. He understands this intuitively, which is interesting because I didn't when I was his age. I will tell you that the experience that I recounted in earlier was literally when I was at the age that my co-founder is at. But it is a very hard lesson because people don't like to look in the mirror when they fail. They only like to look in the mirror when they're doing well. And I would tell you that if you can't point to things you've done wrong and learn from them, you are going to have a failure, only it may very well be far worse. And considering the weeks that we've seen the last 2 weeks, you know, Silicon Valley Bank being a classic example and others, we get examples of this all the time. Hubris, you know, FTX, they, you know, their names on stadiums, you know, all sorts of things, failure after failure, mostly because the people running the institutions really didn't learn from probably their past mistakes or didn't even acknowledge that it was possible.
Yeah, you know, at the end of the, well, I don't know if it depends on what type of entrepreneur you are, but you know, at the end of the year, there's this idea of like, well, it's the holiday, so it should be rest and recuperation, right? And that's the doctrine. It's like, you must do nothing, disconnect, and just chill. So I don't know how you feel about this, David, but I don't switch off. Like, I'm on, always on. Like, I don't get to, like, you know, I didn't like I just had a guy on the show and he was like, he went fishing with his son and SVB happened that weekend, turned on his phone. You know what I mean?
I don't know what's going to happen, Matt. I'm taking the first long vacation since we started CoinRoutes 6 years ago. I have now taken 2 1-week ski vacations, two in 6 years. And in both times I was logging on at night. I am taking a 2-week vacation to the Middle East that my wife and I have been looking forward to for years. That, yeah, I probably will have some business meetings when we meet people in person because we have clients over there. But the truth of the matter is I'm worried that I'm going to be able to unplug and enjoy the things that I wanted to enjoy. So I'm going to try to force myself to do so, but it is not easy.
No, it's not. And to your point, to finish where I was going to kind of reframe what you said, which is it shouldn't be rest and recuperation. It should be rest and reflection, because the reflection is where you remember things and you should be reflecting on your failures. Like, you know, and it takes courage to do that, because I think we don't want to self-analyze, you know, or to go, hey, I made this decision, the business failed, here's what I should have done differently. And to reflect on that process, because it takes courage to do that, doesn't it?
It takes perspective. I think that, I don't consider myself particularly brave for this, but I will tell you that as I've gotten older, I have become more and more reflective over time. And, you know, it's part of it is you have to look at yourself in the mirror and make decisions. But I'm not sure I was nearly as capable of this in my 20s as I am now. And I think that's borne out by the data. I mean, the data, when you look at the success rate of startups, of entrepreneurs, ones that have multiple generations do better than ones that are either formed by older people or younger people. Why? Because you get different perspective. The older perspective is learn from your mistakes, be accountable, be measuring. The younger, let's make sure that we are using the newest technology. We are not getting stuck in our ways. We're not assuming the problem. I mean, the vast majority of human beings tend to fight the last war, not the coming war. That's how the French in World War II built the Maginot Line, because they were the way that World War I was fought, that would have kept everything from happening. And then, of course, the Germans blitzkrieged over the top of it, and boom, they were gone. That's probably the most famous example, but those examples happen all the time, Matt. If you're not looking backward to understand your failures, you have a problem. And if you're not looking forward to understand what's changing, you're going to have a problem. So it's really the blend of both.
Got it. David, are there any books or tools or resources that you recommend entrepreneurs use or read on their personal journey?
That is a great question. You know, the truth of the matter is I have tended to read the first chapter of lots of books But like, you know, my personal favorite for big companies is The Innovator's Dilemma. That's not necessarily for entrepreneurs, but there, the first chapter probably tells you everything you need to know because he then gets repetitive about it. I think from an entrepreneurial perspective, there's a lot of different lessons. I read voraciously, but tend to read more online than I do on individual books. So I hate to give examples. If you told me about an industry, I could give you examples of individual industries. It's really product knowledge where you kind of have to dig deep. But in terms of personal reflection, I think there are many people who write, you know, on Substack, on Medium, whatever, that I have found useful. And I'm not really sure that I want to go down the road of talking about those people. Mostly leave somebody out who I probably would not have wanted to leave out.
No, I get that. Just I'm going to give you a book to read there and everybody else also. It's called Genghis Khan, The Making of the Modern World. So it's about 300, 400 pages, but don't read all of it. Just read the first 50 to 80 pages. Because if you want perspective on how to manifest and change the world, and at a time where there was no technology and things like that, it's truly remarkable. It really opened my eyes on like what an impact, you know, Genghis had on the modern world, let alone, you know, what we think technology is doing in terms of contributing to the modern world, like, and how much of it actually stems from his time on Earth.
Well, you know, it's funny. It brings up one book that I do make everybody read. It's called Reminiscences of a Stock Operator. And it was, believe it or not, it was set mostly in the late 1800s. And it charts a famous stock trader who his life didn't end terribly well, but he imparts many lessons in terms of discipline. And what you learn is that every time people think what's happening today has never happened before, it's unique. Nope, that's not true. So I do think that that is one that anybody who wants anything to do with trading or financial markets should read, because it helps you have the perspective that as much as things change, many things stay the same.
Exactly. Love that. And that's a great point to end on. David, thank you for being on the Secrets of Fail series on the Map Round Show. It's been a privilege having you here.
Thank you.